The third parak focuses on what is a trefa for an animal. We'll define what a trefa is shortly. And then it goes on to discuss what's not a trefa for an animal. Then it discusses what's a trefa for a bird, what's not a trefa for a bird. And then we'll talk about the kashrus as well of fish and locusts. So to start with the pasuk in Shmos Chaf Beis Lam, it says, Ubasar basade trefa lot sochelu. If you have meat in a field, literally in a field, that is a trefa, you cannot eat it. And let's talk about if you have a kosher animal that, for example, was attacked and it has a fatal injury. But it is not talking about when it has died as a result of that injury without a shechita. That would be an avela, and that is independently prohibited to eat that meat. We are not talking about an avela, where that animal died without a proper shechita. We're talking about an animal that even if it had a kosher shechita, but because it was classified as a trefa, that it had this fatal injury, this fatal blemish in it, and that's defined as an animal that because it has this fairly large blemish, this injury, it will die within the year. Accordingly, even if you give it a kosher shechita, it is considered a trefa and it cannot be eaten. Now, we are not talking about necessarily an animal that was mauled by another animal, that was attacked by another animal and it's about to die, but it could be something that it was born with, something that it had a birth defect. It was born, for example, without a liver. That's what will be one of our trefas, or it can be any other cause. It doesn't have to necessarily be that it was attacked by a wild animal. As long as it has one of these fatal, quote-unquote, injuries, it may not be an injury per se, that it was inflicted upon it, it could be born with it, but in any case, as long as it will not survive for a year, that is going to be considered to be an animal that is trefa, and even with the kosher shechita, that animal cannot be eaten. When it comes to the first Mishnah, Mishnah Aleph, we are going to list 18 different trefas, 18 different defects, injuries that will cause an animal to be a trefa, and accordingly, even with the kosher shechita, it will not be permitted to eat. That meat will not be kosher. And I just want to actually start on with the last few words of this Mishnah to give the general principle that we're going to see in this Mishnah, and then we'll go through the details of all 18 of the trefus, all 18 of those defects and injuries. So at the way end of the Mishnah tells us, Zeh HaKlal, this is the general principle that we learn in our Mishnah. In fact, the Gemara tells us that it's what's listed, the 18 in the Mishnah, is non-exclusive. This language, Zeh HaKlal, this is the general principle, is meant to actually include additional other flaws that are to be considered trefa. So there are other ones listed in the Mishnah, in the Gemara. But here we'll just start with the general principle, Zeh HaKlal, this is the general rule, Kol She'ein Kamoha Chaya Trefa. Any animal, then even absent a shechita, it just by itself, any of these animals, it would by itself, with that specific defect or injury, it would die within a year. Even if you give it a proper shechita, it doesn't matter. So even if you find that flaw, that trefa, that defect, after the shechita is done, it was viable and alive before the shechita, but we found that trefa after the shechita, it is not going to be a kosher shechita. The meat cannot be eaten because that animal would have died within a year regardless. Okay, so here we go at the beginning of the Mishnah. Elu trefas bebehema. We are going to now list out the specific trefas when it comes to animals, when it comes to birds. We'll discuss the trefas and the non-trefas. It's in Mishnayos Gimel through Dalet. Now we're going to list them out. The first one is Nikuvas HaVeshet. Nikuvas HaVeshet means a nekev. There is a hole in the veshet, which is the food pipe. That is a trefa. Number two is Psukas HaGargeres. The gargeres is the windpipe. And now we have a cut across the wall of the windpipe. And obviously there's a lot more detail as to the anatomy of how deep the cut is and how wide the cut is on all of these, but we're just going to keep it on a high level. So that is number two. Number three is nikav, which means it has a hole. Nikav krum shel moach, the membrane of the brain. So there are actually two membranes in the head. There's one that is right around the brain, and there's one that is more attached to the skull. We're talking about the inner membrane that's right around the brain. So there is a hole in it. That is the third trapha. The fourth trapha, again, starts off with nikav. So there's a hole. Where's this hole? Nikav halev lebeis chalalo. So there is a hole in the heart, and it goes all the way through into one of the two chambers of the heart. So it's a deep hole that goes all the way through. That is number four. Number five, nishbara hashidra. The spine was broken. V'nifsak hachut shela. And the membrane around it was actually cut. Well, what this is talking about actually is the spine itself did not have to break. The nerves inside the spinal cord also did not have to be severed. But as long as the majority of the membrane around the spinal cord was cut, that is going to be this defect. That's going to be this trapha. So that's number five. Number six, we're moving on to the liver now. Nital hakaved. If you, after the shechita, you open it up and you find out that there was no liver in this animal. So nital hakaved, veloni shtayer himenu klum, and there was nothing left. In other words, even there's no part of the liver. If you have even a small part of the liver, that would be sufficient to take it out of being a trefa, but there's no liver there. That is going to be a trefa. Number seven, we're moving on to the lungs now. Hare ashenikba. We have the lung and it has a hole in it. Or continuing, number eight, when it comes to the lungs, even if certain parts are missing, certain sections of the lung are missing, or shechasra, that will also be a trefa. We have a disagreement on this one. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ad shetinakev lebeis hasimponos. It's not simply sufficient that something was missing of the lungs or the hole. It had a hole in it. Here, Rabbi Shimon is saying that when it comes to having a hole in the trefa, so he's actually disagreeing with Sewell with the trefa number seven, not eight. So when it comes to number seven, where we said if there's a hole in the lung, Rabbi Shimon is actually going to be required in order for it to be a trefa, so he's going to be lenient. It's only going to become a trefa if the hole goes all the way through. So it's a hole that is in a specific area. Achentinak of Lebesa Symphonos is when you have the windpipe and it actually enters into the lung itself and it starts breaking off into various lobes and the other blood vessels. So he requires that the hole be in that specific location in the beis hasimphonos, which is when the windpipe begins to break into branches off into the lung itself. Now we're going to continue with number nine, nikba hakeva. The keva is the stomach. There are actually four stomachs, as we'll be discussing shortly. So this is talking about the fourth stomach. So the fourth stomach has a hole in it. Number 10, we're going to talk about the mara, which is the gallbladder. So if the gallbladder, nikfa hamara, if the gallbladder has a hole in it, now the gallbladder is right next to the liver. And what we're talking about now, and we'll see this concept a few times, we're talking about that there's a hole on the outer side that's not covered up by the liver. If it's covered up by the liver, that's not going to be a trefa. It's going to be, accordingly, that hole is going to be irrelevant if it's pushed on by the liver. But if it's not being pushed on by the liver, it's on the other side, then that is going to be a trefa. Nikvu hadakim, we're talking about the intestines. So if the intestines have a hole in it, but it's not anywhere, again, that concept, we're talking about intestines that are on the outside that don't have other intestines pushing against it. If the intestines are pushing against that hole, so it's like a hidden hole, that is not going to be a trefa because the hole is going to be irrelevant because anything that would have come out is going to be pushed, is going to be kept intact by the other intestines pushing against it. So we're talking about intestines that are open to the outside, not being pushed by other intestines. That's going to be a trefa. So that is nikvu adakim, is number 11. We are now moving on to number 12, hakeres hapnimish hanikba. Now we're talking about the first stomach. So literally the inner stomach is talking about the first stomach. It had a hole in it. So again, we've had the fourth stomach, now the first stomach. And now we are going to move on to number 13, oshenikra rov hachitzona. This again is talking about that same stomach, that first stomach. And it says that if the muscle that covers it, if the majority of it is torn, that is going to additionally be a trefa. So again, number 12 was hakeres hapnimis shenikvet. There's a hole in it. And even in the absence of the hole in the first stomach, number 13 is the outer muscle of the majority of that stomach is torn. That's also going to be a trefa. Now we're going to have a machlokas on that. On number 13, Rabbi Yehuda is going to distinguish. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hagdol, if you're talking about a large animal, it doesn't have to be that the majority of that muscle has been torn, but just a tefach, even if just a tefach, a hand's breadth has been torn, that is going to be a trefa of a haktana. When it comes to a small animal, that is when beruba, the trefa is going to be when the majority of that muscle has been torn. Continuing, number 14. Now we're going to talk about the third and the second stomachs. We talked about the fourth and the first in that order. Now, hameses, which is the third stomach. Ubeis hakosos is the fourth stomach. The third stomach and the second stomach. If they had shenikvu lachutz, if they had a hole on the outside, that means, again, if they are in a place that they're not leaning against each other, so it's not a hidden hole, it's on the outside, so that is also, that's going to be number 14 and number 15. That's the 14 is the third stomach, number 15 is the second stomach that have a hole in it. Number 16 is not going to be an internal flaw, defect, but nafla min hagag, if this animal fell off the roof, we are concerned now that there has been significant damage inside of it. If somebody would go and do a shechita immediately without investigating if that animal is still going to be able to walk and do various other activities, so they didn't do the checks, investigations required by halacha, they just did an immediate shechita, you have to assume that that animal, if fell off of a high place, is indeed a trefa. Number 17, nishtabru rov tzaloseha, if the majority of its ribs were broken, and there's a definition of where on the ribs they have to be broken, and how many have to be broken, etc., but if the majority of the ribs were broken, that's a trefa. And number 18, udrusas hazeev, if we have our kosher animal that was clawed by a ze'ev, by a wolf, and the wolf has venom in its claws, so that also, if that happened, that would cause our animal to be a trefa as well. And now we're going to get into a little bit more detail on this concept of number 18 of a drusa, if it was attacked, clawed by different animals. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, drusas hazeev bedaka. Indeed, Rabbi Yehuda says that that is going to be a trefa if you have the clawing by that ze'ev, by that wolf. That's going to be talking about if it clawed a daka, a small animal, maybe a lamb or something like that, but it's not going to make a large animal, an ox, for example. It's not going to make an ox into a trefa unless udrusas ari begas. It's going to be require the clawing by an animal, by a lion, if that is indeed what is going to make a large animal into a trefa. Drusas hanetz be'of hadak, drusas hanetz, we're talking now about a small hawk. So if a small hawk claws, attacks a small bird, that would make it into a trefa. Drusas hagas be'of hagas, but you would require a large hawk, not a small hawk, in order, if it claws a large bird, that would make that large kosher bird, that would make it into a trefa. But if you just had a small hawk go and attack and claw a large kosher bird, that would not make it into a trefa. And here, this is how we started off. Zahaklal, this is the general principle. Kol shein kamo chaya trefa. Indeed, anything, excuse me, kol shein kamo chaya, it's going to be a trefa. So this is a general rule that if you have a defect, that if it were in an animal that weren't shechted and it would not be able to live for 12 months, that would be a trefa. So even if we did a kosher shechita on it, but then we found the defect there afterward, and we know it's the defect either on our list or the other ones listed in the Gemara, that we know that animal had that severe, serious defect, fatal flaw, that it could not have lived 12 months, it is going to be unkosher, it's going to be a trefa, the meat cannot be eaten. Mishnah Beis is a continuation of Mishnah Aleph, but whereas in Mishnah Aleph we saw the various injuries and blemishes that are going to cause the animal to be a trefa, to not be kosher, we're going to see the converse here. We're going to see certain injuries and blemishes that are not going to cause the animal to be a trefa, such that when shechita is done, even if they find these problems, it is not going to invalidate the animal. The meat is going to be kosher. The Mishnah says as follows, Ve'elu ksheirosh bebehema, these are the injuries that are not going to cause a treifa. The animal is still going to be kosher. And now we have a list. Nikva hagargeres, if we have a hole, that's the nekev, a hole in the wall of the windpipe, that is going to be acceptable. Oshenistika, or if it was slit along its length. In the prior Mishnah, we talked about if it was slit along its width, that was an invalidation. However, if it's slit along the length, that will not invalidate the animal. And now we're going to go back to the first of the psulim or non-psulim that we just mentioned. If it has a hole in the gargaris, so how big can that hole be and still be a kosher animal? Ad kama techsar, how much up until how much can be missing that it's still going to be kosher? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer ad ki isar aitalki, up until the size of a coin, an Italian coin that is called an isar. So as long as it's smaller than the isar, even a small amount smaller than the isar, that's going to be acceptable. But once it's the size of an isar or larger, that is going to invalidate the animal. It's going to be a treifa. There's a machlokas in the posting. How big is that? That coin would cause the animal to be a treifa. Continuing on the list, nifchasa hagulgoles, which means that the skull, it was cracked. However, velonikav krum shel moach, the membrane that was around the brain, it was not punctured. So as long as there's no puncture, we saw in the previous Mishnah that if there is indeed a hole in the membrane all around the brain, that will invalidate the animal. However, if there's some of the skull that has been cracked, possibly missing, that is not going to invalidate the animal as long as the membrane around the brain is intact. Nikav halev, we have a hole in the heart. However, v'lo lebeis chalalot, it does not penetrate into the chambers of the heart. So as long as it's on the outside and it doesn't go onto the inside into the chambers, it will not cause the animal to be a treifa. Nishbara hashidra v'lo nifsak hachuchala, if the spine was broken, so the bones were broken, however, the spinal cord was not cut. And as we said in the prior Mishnah, the psul is if the membrane around the spinal cord has been cut in the majority. So here we're saying even if it's cut a little bit, but not the majority of the membrane has been cut through, it is not going to be a treifa. Nitla hakaved v'nishtayer himene kazayis. The liver was removed. However, there is some still there up until a kazayis. You need a minimum of a kazayis. If you have that kazayis of the liver, then it will not be a treifa. Now we're going to get back into the stomach. So hemses ubeis hakoso shenikvu zeletochze. If we do have holes in stomach number 3, that's the hemses, and the beis hakoso stomach number 2, and the holes are pointing towards each other, that is not going to invalidate it. And the reason is because the point of these stomachs is to get the food back and forth between them. And if they have a hole between each of them, it is getting the hole. It's not going to take the full tour around the stomachs, but it'll still go from one to the other through those holes because they are back to back next to each other. So that's not going to cause it to be a treifa. Nital hatchol, if the spleen was removed, an animal can live without a spleen, so that will not cause an invalidation. Nitla klayos, if the kidneys were removed, 1 or even 2, it's still not going to be a treifa because the animal can live without the kidneys. Nital lechi hatachton, if the lower jaw was removed, dislocated, or removed such that the animal cannot chew anymore, but it still can eat even without chewing, so that will not cause it to be a treifa. Nitla ha'emshala, if the womb was removed, the charuta bidei shamayim, or this is talking about the lungs. If the lungs shriveled as a result of the animals being scared, frightened, but from a natural cause, for example, thunder, lightning, panic, that animal, it caused the lung to shrink, that is not going to invalidate that animal. And now we're going to have a machlokis hagluda, which means that the skin of the animal was removed, so it doesn't have its skin. So here we're going to have a machlokas hagluda, Rabbi Meir Machshir. Rabbi Meir is of the view that that's not going to cause it to be a treifa, v'chachamim poslim, and the chachamim are of the view that indeed that will cause the animal to be a treifa. Mishnah Gimel is going to discuss the treifas that cause a bird to be unkosher. And it's going to follow the pattern that we saw with Mishnah Aleph and Mishnah Beis, with Mishnah Aleph being the trefas for animals, and then Mishnah Beis being what is not a trefa for an animal. And now we're going to do the same for birds. Mishnah Gimel is going to be what is considered a fatal injury, a trefa. It causes a bird to be a trefa. And Mishnah Dalah will be what is not considered a fatal injury such that it would cause the bird to be a trefa. So Mishnah Gimel says as follows, Ve'elu trefas bov, and this is going to sound similar to Mishnah Aleph. These are the trefas for a bird that would invalidate them, make them unkosher, nukuvas, haveshet, as we saw in Mishnah Aleph as well. If there is a nekev, if there is a hole in the food pipe, psukas hagargeres, or if there is across the width of the windpipe, it is cut, so we're not talking about the length. We'll see that in Mishnah Dalet, it discussed that it's not going to be a trefa if it's cut along the length. We're now talking about the width. If there's a cut across the width of the windpipe, that is going to be a trefa. Hikata chulda al rosho, if we had a weasel that hit this bird on its head in a specific place. Makam sheose osa trefa, in a place that indeed it's where the weasel hits it. It hits it, it bites it with its teeth. So that may penetrate the brain. It may penetrate the membrane around the brain. So that's why if it's indeed bit it in that specific place, so we are concerned that it is going to be a trefa. What we would have to do is we'd have to check afterward to see if indeed it penetrated or not. And the Gemara does discuss the test that can be done to see if the membrane around the brain was penetrated or not. But the default would be, if you don't do that test, you have to assume if you saw that weasel bite that bird in the place where it can penetrate into the brain, that it is going to be a trefa. Nikav hakorkevan, if the gizzard has a hole in it, and nikvu hadakin, if the intestine, if there's a hole in the intestine and it's not in a place that it's pointing towards another piece of the intestine, so it's not side by side, back to back, but it's pointing outward, then a hole in the intestine will cause the bird to be a trefa. Now we're going to talk about a bird that was injured by a fire. So the fire was by the bird, and it penetrated somewhat and through the skin, and we're concerned about internal injuries such that that bird may pass away because of those internal injuries. So the Mishnah says as follows, Nafla la'or v'nech meru b'nei me'eha. If the bird, it fell into or is a fire, and it's b'nei me'eha, it's its internal organs, they became burned, they became scorched because it was very hot. So now we have to see if that is going to invalidate or not. And we're going to say as follows before we get into the language. If the organs changed colors, if that's the case, even if a small amount changed colors, then that is going to indicate that it may develop a hole, or it will develop a hole, and accordingly that is going to cause the animal, the bird, to be a trefa. So im yirukim psulim, if the organs, which were normally red, have turned into green. So the color changed on the organs. And it's not necessarily that they normally red and turned green, but if there are other colors as well, if they're normally green and they turned red, or even a part of them changed colors, that is going to be a psul, that is going to be a trefa, again, because we are concerned, or we are certain that it will develop a hole because of that change in the color of the organ. Im adumim ksherim. However, the organs, they were originally red and they are still red, there was no change in the color of the organs, then it is going to be kosher. That is not going to cause the bird to be a trefa. Okay, now we're going to talk about three cases that the bird suffered a hit. It got nailed, it had an impact of some sort. This is going to be similar to what we saw in the first Mishnah when the animal fell off the roof, that our default is if somebody does an immediate shechita on it, you have to assume that it had internal damage, that it would cause it to be a trefa. You obviously have to do a bedika then. You can't do an immediate shechita. So here we're going to see three different similar psulim when it comes to a bird. Drasa, if a person trampled on it, stepped on it. Utrafaba kosel, if somebody hit it against the wall, knocked it into the wall. And number three is oshirit tatata behema, if an animal crushed it. All three of those, this is what we have to look at. If there afterward, it didn't die immediately, umifarkeses, if it is still moving around, if it's still moving here and there, it doesn't mean that it's walking, even if it's not walking normally, but as long as it's still fluttering around somewhat, But we do have to be concerned still that it had internal damages that would cause it to be a trefa. So what we have to do is v'shasa me'es le'es, if it stayed alive for 24 hours and only thereafter ordered shchata, you shechted it. So the fact that it was able to stay alive for 24 hours, that is going to show us that it wasn't a trefa. However, it's going to be kshera. However, we still need to do an inspection on the inside to ensure that the organs have not been damaged. So that is going to be required because we know that it got a zetz, it got one of those major impacts on it. So it has to be fluttering around, it has to sow life thereafter, wait the 24 hours to the shechiter, and still you need to do that check, the internal check, to ensure that this is not a trefa bird. Mishnah Dalit is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, but whereas Mishnah Gimel told us the various injuries that will cause a bird to be a trefa, Mishnah Gimel is going to tell us the injuries that will not cause the bird to be a trefa. The meat is going to be kosher. The Eluk Sheiros Bo'ov, these are the injuries, they're not life-threatening, accordingly the bird is going to be kosher. Nikva HaGargaris, if the windpipe has a hole in it, or Shenistika, or it has been slit, we're talking now about it's being slit lengthwise, not widthwise. In the prior Mishnah, we said that if the windpipe is cut widthwise, that is going to cause it to be a trefa. Here we're talking about lengthwise, it's not as serious, it's not life-threatening. Hikata Chulda Al Rosha, Makam She'eno Ose Osa Trefa. If we have that weasel that took a bite into the head of the bird, but it was in a place that its teeth would not enter into the membrane around the brain. So accordingly, if it's not going to enter there, then it's not going to be life-threatening. Nikav Hazekbek, if we have a hole in the crop, what's the crop? That is when we have the food pipe, the food leads initially into what's called the zefek, which is the crop. It's basically a storage area for the food until the stomach is ready to start digesting it. So if you have a hole in there, it's not going to be a life-threatening issue. So accordingly, it's not going to be a trefa. Rebbe Omer Afilu Nital, even if the entire crop was removed, that's also not going to be life-threatening. The Tana Kama would disagree. The Tana Kama would say if the whole thing is removed, that's going to be a trefa. It's simply if it has a hole in it, it's not going to be a trefa. Continuing, Yatsu b'nei me'e havelo nikvu. If you have that bird, it maybe fell, it had some sort of injury. It could be that a cat attacked it. And Yatsu b'nei me'e, if its internal organs, its intestines came out, but they don't have a hole, v'lo nikfu, so there's no hole. If it were a hole, that would be a trefa, but if it didn't have a hole, they were just on the outside, but that bird is still alive. Or nishtabra gapecha, if its wings were broken, it can exist, it can live without its wings. So even if they're broken, the bones are broken of the wings, it can't fly, but still it can live. Nishtabru ragleh, if its legs were broken towards the bottom, that's also going to be acceptable. It's not going to be a trefa. Nimrita knafecha, or it's the larger feathers that it has were removed. Again, it's still going to be a kosher bird after a kosher shechita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im nitla hanotza psula, if the small feathers were removed from all over the bird's skin, says Rabbi Yehuda, that is going to cause it to be a trefa. The bird cannot live without that protection of the small feathers all over its body. And accordingly, a bird like that, even with a kosher shechita, it's going to be a trefa. That meat is not going to be kosher. Mishnah Hay lists a number of conditions that the animal will die from. But despite that, the animal will not be considered a trefa. The meat will be permitted to be eaten after a kosher shechita. And the reason is because although this animal will be dying, the organs will not be impacted. It will not cause holes between the organs. It will not fit into the criteria of a trefa as listed out, the various examples of trefas listed in Mishnah Aleph. So the Mishnah says as follows, if we have an animal that is achuzas dam, its blood literally increased, it has a blood pressure problem, significantly high blood pressure. It's hard for the animal to breathe, so it will die from that condition. There was smoke inhalation that will cause the animal to die as well. The mitsunenis literally had a cold, but it started with a cold, and then the animal got very sick. So it ate an herb that is poisonous for animals, so that animal will be dying because it ate that poison, poisonous for itself. Misha'achla tzoas hatarnagolim, it ate the dung of chickens, which is also poisonous for animals. Or another example, o sheshatata mayim harayim, it drank water that was left uncovered, and we're concerned that a poisonous snake or a scorpion put its poison in there, so that's poisonous for the animal as well. In all of these situations, it's going to be kosher, or the meat is going to be permitted to be eaten after a kosher shechita, because again, all of these conditions, the animal will be dying, but it will not have a negative impact on the internal organs of the animal, such that it will not be considered a treifa halachically. Now we're going to give a couple of examples that are similar but different in the following sense. They are also conditions that the animal will be dying, but the animal would not be considered a treifa because the organs will not be impacted. However, it's still going to be usher to eat the meat for a different reason, because it's going to be a sakana for people to eat the meat. The aforementioned conditions were not a sakana for people. The animal was in sakana. The animal was going to die, but people would not be hurt by eating the meat. But here we have achla samhamnavis. If we have that animal that ate poison, that would be poisonous for people. Not only poisonous for an animal, but poisonous for people. Oshikisha nachash, or a poisonous snake bit it. So that poison as well would be dangerous for a person to eat. Muteris mishum treifa. Both of these examples, like all the examples we brought in the Reisha, the Mishnah, where they're not going to be a treifa. It's not going to be a usur for the people to eat it because it's not kosher. The meat is kosher. Nonetheless, va'asura mishum sakanas nefashas, what is going to be asur is you still can't eat the meat, but for a different reason, because it's going to be a danger for people to eat because of the poison. This is poison to people, and accordingly, the meat cannot be eaten. Mishnah Vav and thereafter Mishnah Zayin are absolutely critical mishnayas and the halachas of kashrus. Mishnah Vav is going to focus on the kashrus of birds, and then Mishnah Zayin and the Reish is going to talk about the kashrus of locusts, and then in the Seif is going to talk about the signs of for kashrus of fish. So starting off with Mishnah Vav, Simane Behema Vechaya Ne'emru Minatorah, the Simanim, the signs of what is a kosher domesticated and non-domesticated animals, that is stated explicitly in the Torah. Do they have split hooves? Shuv der kud? Those are the signs that are required in the Torah in order to have kosher animals. V'simane ha'of lo ne'emru. The signs of what's a kosher bird are not stated explicitly in the Torah. What we do have is a list of the non-kosher birds, and we can extrapolate from that list why those birds are non-kosher to teach us what is required to be a kosher bird. And Chazal taught us that. Aval Amru Chachamim, Chazal taught us what are the simanim, the signs required to have kosher birds. Kol of hadores tame. Any bird that literally grabs its food with its claws, that is going to be unkosher. Just look at the Bar Tanur real quickly. Ha'ochez b'tziporonav. It grabs onto its prey with its claws. U'magbia min hakarka mashu ochel. And it lifts up from the ground what it eats. Or he brings a second explanation. Shriyei shepirshu. She'enu mamtin lebal chai at shiyamud. It doesn't wait till its prey dies. Ela ochlo mechayim. But rather these birds of prey eat their prey, eat their food while it is still alive. So that is going to be a bird of prey. That's kol of hadores, that is going to be tame. And continuing, what are the signs that it is kosher? Kosher yesh lo etzba yesera, as long as it has an additional toe. What does that mean? So the Bar Tanur says that we're talking about an additional toe that comes out of the back of its foot. It's raised up a little more than the other toes on its feet. So that is an etzba yesera. That is number one. Number two, vizefek. It has a crop. That is an area that the undigested food gets stored before it is digested in the stomach. And number three, vikur vano niklaf. the korbanot is its gizzard, and it can be peeled, and it means that it can be peeled from the muscle that it's attached to it very easily. A knife is not needed. You can peel it simply with your hand. Tahor. If it has any one of those three signs, then it is going to be a kosher bird. And just to continue, another sign of what would be an unkosher bird, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, kol of hacholek es raglav tameh. This is talking about when a bird, when it grasps on with its claw onto a branch or onto something else that it is holding onto, a non-kosher bird will split its toes, two in the front, two in the back, and will grasp on to what it's holding on. So that's what it means that it says, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, kolof hacholek es raglav tameh, that it splits up its toes, because when it's holding on to something, it's standing on a branch or a string or something like that, two toes in front, two toes in back, and it holds on to it. That's another sign that it is a non-kosher bird. Mishnah Zion, what are the signs that a locust is kosher? So there are actually four signs that are required. Uvachagavim, when it comes to locusts, kol sheyeshlo, it has to have, number one, arba raglaim, it has to have four legs. And in addition, number two is v'arba knafayim, four wings. And number three is karsulain. That's an additional two jumping legs. So if you look at a picture of a locust, it's got four smaller legs and then two much larger legs that is used to jump around. That's number three. And number four, uchnafav chofin es rubo, that the wings cover the majority of their body. And Rabbi Yossi adds on, Rabbi Yossi Omer Shmo Chagav. It has to be called Chagav. What does that mean? Let's look in the Bar Tanura. Afa pi sheyesh bo arba simanim halalo eino kasher. Even if it has the four aforementioned signs, it's still not going to be kosher unless you fulfill the fifth requirement. Elim ken yadua sheshmo Chagav. Unless it is known. We have a Mesorah. It is known that it falls into the category of what is called Chagav, Chagavim locust. In the absence of knowing that it is a Chagav, we have that Mesorah. If we don't have that Mesorah, that is means it will not be kosher, even if it fits all the other requirements. Now we're going to go on to fish. Uvidagim. This is actually famous when it comes to fish. What are the requirements? Kosher yesh lo snap here v'kaskes. It has to have a fin. And scales, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he tells us how many does it have to have of each of those. Shnei kaskasim, it needs to have a minimum of two scales on its body. We will explain what's kaskasim shortly. Usnapir echad, and has to have a minimum of one fin. The eluhen kaskasim. What are these kaskasim that we're talking about, these scales? Hakfuinbo, it means that we have two scales, a minimum of two scales, that are firmly attached to its body. And when we're talking about snapirim, when we're talking about a fin, at least one fin, haporporeachben, what's a fin? It's the item, it's the thing that is used by the fish in order to swim with through the water.